Beth Moreland lives three doors down from Richard Whidbey's home on South 4th and a Half Street. In the mid-morning of May 20th, she says things didn't seem normal with Whidbey. Moreland says she had just returned home in her truck after taking her dogs on an outing. She noticed Whidbey had his shirt partly off, and he turned towards her holding a sword.
He had that long sword in his hands, and I said, what you doing? And he said, I'm just out here, you know, killing, and he murmured something, and it was as if he was, to me, I mean, it was an interpretation that he was out there killing demons. He was out there getting rid of whatever it was that was on his mind.
Moreland knew Whidbey, but she says he wasn't close, and she says he was always friendly, but she often found him odd. Rather than call police initially, Moreland says she contacted one of Whidbey's close friends, Francis Kelly, who lived across the street. Kelly spoke with KFSK Radio in Petersburg, but did not want her voice recorded. She said Whidbey was standing in his doorway when she asked him if he was all right, and he said no. According to Kelly, Whidbey told her he had been high on methamphetamines for 3 days and was just coming down. Alaska State Troopers, who are investigating the whole incident, have not yet released any toxicology results or other information on whether Whidbey had been using drugs. Kelly says Whidbey went on to talk about fighting his own demons and killing anyone who, quote, abused or hurt God. Kelly was worried. She says it was not the man she knew as a friend. She describes him as someone who would give you the shirt off his back. But according to Kelly, Whidbey had been going through a lot of personal troubles lately. He was living alone and had quit his job at a local hardware store in January. She says she felt his behavior that morning was threatening, and she soon called Beth Moreland back about it. Here's Moreland.
She called me back concerned, and she said, Beth, something's wrong. He's not himself. He has actually told me that he's willing to kill people that have disappointed God, and he was also willing, told me he would kill me if I disappointed God. And when she, upon saying that to me, I told her I thought that was a cry for help, that it was a really hard decision to make.
Moreland says they considered trying to reach a police officer who knew Whidbey, but ultimately she decided they needed to call 911. Moreland says her husband Dale went outside and made the call. Moreland says she remained inside and she didn't end up witnessing the actual confrontation between Whidbey and police.
I was actually kind of scared because I didn't want a confrontation. I didn't, you know, when my husband went out and handled that, I was just kind of afraid. I didn't want Richard to be mad at me for calling the police and that kind of thing.
The call came into police dispatch at about 9:45. Acting Police Chief Jim Agner and Officer Joe Boggs responded. Agner agreed to talk with KFSK about the incident this week, but declined to have his voice recorded. He says they had received a report of a man who was walking around the street threatening people with a sword. When the officers arrived on the scene, Agner says Whidbey jumped off his porch towards them, holding a long sword in one hand and a long staff in the other. Agner says Whidbey swung the sword, which cut or broke a metal aerial off a car in the driveway. Agner says Whidbey refused to drop the sword and swung it in the direction of Boggs, who was several yards away at this point. Agner says he fired his taser at Whidbey, but it wasn't effective. Then Boggs fired his taser, and it didn't work either. Agner thinks it's possible the probes didn't make full contact. Whidbey first went after Boggs with the sword, according to Agner, who says he warned Whidbey to stop, saying this wasn't worth dying for. Then, according to Agner, Whidbey turned and came after him. Agner says he was running backwards as Whidbey charged him with a sword, closing the distance to within just a few feet before Agner finally fired a single shot, hitting Whidbey in the upper chest. Agner says he knew Whidbey as a likable person, and he called him by his first name, Richard, as he tried to get him to stop. The whole incident happened in about 40 seconds, and Agner says it was captured on audio tape. He says such recordings are standard on the job these days. The audio was provided to the Alaska State Troopers for their investigation. Agner returned to work Tuesday morning after 3 days administrative leave, which is also city policy for an incident like this, though nothing like this has ever happened here before. City Manager Scott Hahn has spoken with local police and state troopers about the situation and believes the shooting was justified.
Certainly after everybody looked into it, everybody's felt so far that it's been a justifiable situation, unfortunate, but justifiable in protecting the lives of the officers.
Agner has 21 years' experience in law enforcement, including 16 as an officer in Petersburg. He's also a member of CCAD, the Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs Task Force. Hahn ultimately decided to ask state troopers to do the investigation because a local officer and the acting police chief were involved.
But also, I didn't want anybody to have any questions that there might be a conflict of interest with the employees of the city, investigating the employees of the city, and this way it's a third party that's going to be certainly less biased or not influenced by any personal connection with the people involved. So it makes for a cleaner investigation and more solid investigation, if you ask me.
Hahn says troopers expected it would be at least 3 weeks before they finished their report on the case. Based on witness accounts, Whidbey's friend Frances Kelly said this week she also thought the officer's actions were appropriate. Moreland believes Whidbey may have wanted to kill himself, and she sees Agner as a victim in all this.
No one should have to go through that, especially an officer of the law, because he was just there to protect, serve and protect, just what they're trained to do.
In a letter to the Petersburg Pilot this week, Moreland wrote that no one should blame Agner. Moreland encouraged people to pray for him, saying that he protected others as he defended himself and his fellow officer. At the same time, Moreland, Kelly, and other neighbors and friends of Richard Whidbey have placed a small memorial of candles and flowers where he fell, and they've set up a bank account to collect donations for his burial costs. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.